Louis and Grandma won the West. Or should I say the West won us? I think it was that way. But July the 2nd, 1973, Betty Dunk, Gary, and I left here at 9 o'clock that morning and made Chicago our first stop. We arrived there about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Chicago time. It was very hot and humid there, but we enjoyed our evening. Mickey had a real nice meal for us, and we sat out in the front yard to try to keep cool. The next morning, the temperature was 80 degrees, and we had a quite hard rainstorm at 10 o'clock in the morning. But it cleared up then, and Dunk, Gary, and Martha went to the museum. And Mickey took Betty and I to Cantigny Gardens and Museum and Memorial. The gardens were beautiful. They were in full bloom, and the flowers were all planted in patterns. And it was really a beautiful sight. The roses were so gorgeous, too. Then in the evening, we went to Bob's baseball game. I'm sorry to say they lost 8-6 in overtime, but they played very well. And Bob did some stealing some bases, which was fun to watch. The next morning was the 4th of July, and we had another thunderstorm. Well, during the night we had had thunderstorms, but the day it was lovely then, the next day. So we left at 9 o'clock and drove through Wisconsin, stopped at a Stuckey's store and got cheese and homemade Swiss bread and jelly and jam. And then we stopped at a rest stop and sat at a picnic table up on a windy hill and ate our lunch, and it tasted pretty good. Then I drove through St. Paul and Minneapolis. Never thought I could do it, but I was real proud of myself. Just have to follow the signs and you're all right. You can see the signs in time. We arrived at the Swiggenson's Motel, St. Cloud, Minnesota, late that afternoon. And we found a Sambo's restaurant. We went there for supper. And then after it got dark, we went over to Wilson Park to watch the fireworks. They were shooting them over the Mississippi River. And that was fun to watch. Then Thursday morning, we went back to Sambo's for breakfast. And Gary bought a Sambo thermos bottle there. And then we drove on through North Dakota toward Fargo. It was beautiful farm country through there. We stopped at Holiday Mall in Fargo and did some shopping at the mall. And then we had lunch near Bismarck. I drove 77 miles along that stretch. And we arrived in Dickinson, North Dakota, about 5:45 in the afternoon, evening. We found a little restaurant across the street, Don's Cafe, so we ate there, and Gary went swimming in the motel pool. The next morning, Friday the 6th, we had breakfast at Don's again, and we left Dickinson about 7:45. We went through Medora, North Dakota, saw Teddy Roosevelt Park, and one thing we noticed seemed unusual. There'd be fields of grain, just miles and miles of fields, but where the houses were way back in off the road, and they'd be all surrounded by trees all the way around. You could hardly see the house for the trees. I suppose when they were built, it was done for wind protection, but it would look strange to see just fields of grain, flat fields, and then see this little clump. It looked little because it was far away, clump of trees with a house in the middle. We saw a little Missouri River, past that, and about 8:45 we came into Montana. At 9:15 we crossed the Yellowstone River. And there was plenty of open stock range through that part of Montana, and beautiful country. we saw a bumper sticker on a car, I think it was, ahead of us, said, it must have been a truck. I said, I may be slow, but I'm ahead of you. 11:15, we stopped for gas in Forsyth, and then we arrived in Billings about 1 o'clock. We found another Sambo's and ate and came out just in time to see a meter maid. She drove around in a little sort of a cart, and she was just about to put a ticket on our car, so we got out just in time. We saw the first snow on the Rockies shortly after that. We made another gas stop at Big Timber. That was about 3:30 in the afternoon, and the temperature there was 96 degrees. We went through Livingston and arrived in Butte, Montana, about 5:45. We decided to go on to Missoula. Dunk said Grandma was holding up better than he expected, and so he thought we could go a little further. I don't know what he expected of me. I was having a good time and getting along fine. He said he thought I'd be more fragile than that. Then I drove to Missoula, and we arrived about 8:15 in the evening. We found a Village Motel Inn, and we had our supper about 9 o'clock that night at 4B's Restaurant, right across the river from the University of Montana. And Gary disappeared while we were eating and wondered where he was. And next thing we looked, and he was climbing up the side of the mountain. And as I remember, there was a restriction sign there, so we were kind of worried till he got back down. And I think by that time we'd driven about 679 miles. I have that notation here anyway. Saturday was the 7th, and we left Missoula about 9:45 in the morning. It was 40 degrees at 6 o'clock when we got up. And we took Route 90 west to Spokane, Washington. It was 202 miles away. And I drove through there for a while along that highway. And 11:20, we arrived at the Lincoln's Bar at Hagen, Montana. They had a gift shop, and $10,000 worth, 10,000 silver dollars embedded in the, all around the bar, around the walls. There was a gift shop there, and we shopped around. It was so crowded you could hardly get through. And at noon, we came into Idaho, and then we had another time change. And Wallace, went through Wallace, Idaho, and we went past the Lake Gur, Delane, and also Spirit Lake. About 12:40, we entered Washington State. We saw the Kaiser Aluminum Trentwood Works, and we observed the dry brown fields all through Washington State. I guess they had quite a dry season there, and nothing looked good at all. It was just brown. We arrived in Spokane and ate at Denny's, and then we went on to Pasco. Pasco looked like a deserted town. The bank building and a couple stores and a motel that we found all had clothes signs on them, and we stopped and got some root beer there. Gary got a whole gallon of it, which finally spilled over in the trunk before we got it all drank. But anyway, we thought we'd better get out of that place. It seemed too deserted, and we never did. We wondered why everything was closed down, but we never found out. So we went across the river again to Umatilla, Oregon. About 5:20, we arrived at a little town, Boardman, Oregon. We found a restaurant there by the motel and ate at the restaurant. And then we took a little tour of the town, which didn't take very long because it was just seemed to be a crossroads and only a few houses. We went up on a lonely road, saw a few little houses, but it certainly was a small town for Boardman. We did go down along the river and took pictures of the seagulls. They were just, oh, many of them down there. They would come up, we would throw something to them, and they'd come up pretty close. Gary got some good pictures of them there. Mine didn't turn out so well. We called Gail from there. Dunk was calling her, called her and was talking to her, and I had locked myself in the bathroom, so he had to take time out to come and tell me how to unlock the door or how to get the twist the knob in order to get out. But we told her that we'd be there on Monday, I think it was. We were expected to arrive there. Sunday, we left Boardman about 8:20 in the morning, took Route 80 along the Columbia River. That was a beautiful sight, white caps on the river. High hills, and around 9:15 we stopped at the John Day Dam, and that was very interesting. They had fish ladders for the fish to get over the dam to migrate. We watched them climb up the ladders and also went down under and watched them count the food fish that were going through in a sort of an underground tank, I guess you'd call it. That the way they counted the how many food fish there were and how many were just others. Then we went on. About 10:20, we drove into Biggs, Oregon, and that was the first we noticed any limit on gas, and they had a 10-gallon limit there. So we got some there, I believe, and then we went through Bend and Shanko, I think it was. Population was 61 in Shanko. Bend had a sign out, sorry, out of gas. And I think that was a place where we stopped to change drivers, and by the time I was getting in the back seat, and Dunk started to drive off, and I managed to get the door shut before he lost me completely. I think he thought he had there, but I stayed with him. And we began seeing snow-capped mountain peaks then. We saw white beef cattle, heifers, and we saw livestock sales buildings, so there must have been quite a lot of livestock there through that part of the country. We went through Redmond and into Oregon State Park. Arrived there about 2:30. We ate at the La Pine restaurant. Then we started climbing by car, of course, until we reached an elevation of 6,478 and came to Crater Lake. That was one of the highlights of our trip. That was the most beautiful blue water that I know I have ever seen anywhere. It looked like someone had dumped about a barrel of liquid bluing in it. It was just so beautiful. And we took pictures and played with a little chipmunk who came and ate the tidbits that we put out for him on a stone wall that circled around one of the viewing spots. We stayed there quite a little while. It was such a beautiful sight. And we started back down again, and one place we saw nice snowbanks, so Betty and Gary got out and had a little fun in the snow and throwing snowballs at us. We tried to take pictures of them throwing the snowballs at the car, but our pictures didn't come out, of course, like some more of them. Then when we went further on down, we saw this fawn standing, almost close to the road. So we stopped again and got out with our cameras and took a picture of him, but it didn't come out. I think it was too dark in there among the trees. But it was fun seeing him anyway. We drove on then to Klamath Falls and Klamath Lake. Klamath Falls has a population of about 16,000. And we arrived there about 7 p.m. We stayed at the Thunderbird Motel, which is a real nice place. And Gary went swimming in the pool. And as I remember, that was the place where Betty and I thought we'd walk around and see Gary in the swimming pool. It was quite a little ways from where our room was. We walked down around, and we almost were eaten up by mosquitoes the whole time. So we got back in the room as fast as we could. The next morning, the 9th, we started out about 9:15 and entered California about 9:30, California State. We passed Tule Lake, T-U-E-L-E Lake, and we saw a sign, San Francisco, 347 miles. And through Redding, on Route 126, we saw many cattle ranches along there and fruit orchards. And there was much irrigation, too. They seemed to have pipes mounted on large wheels, which I think moved up and down the field, as I remember. But they had they were spraying water, these pipes. Fields that were being irrigated were nice and green, and then maybe the next field would not have irrigation and it would be brown. About 12:40 that day, we stopped for lunch at Black Olive Restaurant, and it was named that because of the olive tree orchards around. Don't remember whether we had black olives for lunch that day or not. We probably did. Then we were on Route 5 to Route 505, and what we noticed along that route, very wide road, but planted along a medial strip, were, I thought, roses at first, but it was another kind of flower, bushes, shrubs. And for miles, it was all these flowers blooming in the medial strip, which made a nice, beautiful sight. Then we were on Route 80 to Vallejo. We knew we were getting closer, so we sang San Francisco, Here We Come. We didn't really sing it, I'm just saying that. We arrived at Gale and Jen's at 4:30 p.m. without too much trouble finding their place. And no one was home for a little bit, and then Jim came. He'd gone out for a loaf of bread, I guess, but he had ham cooking. Gale was still at work. And potato salad. She had potato salad made, and we had a good meal. And then we started out, took the bus downtown to catch a cable car. Now, that was an experience. We had to wait for the car, and when a car would come along, then everybody would rush out, and old slow me, I didn't make the first one. They all had to wait then because I couldn't keep up with the crowd getting on the first one. And then, of course, the fun was watching them turn when they got to the end of that trip. They turned the cable car around and start back again. But we missed the first one, and then the second one. They managed to get me up a little closer, and when it came, we rushed. Gail says, "I'll save your seat, Grandma." And I thought I couldn't get up the step in the first place. The step was so high. And finally, by the time we got on, the seat she had saved was gone. But Betty and I got a place to sit anyway. That was quite an experience. I kept ringing the bell the whole time, ding, 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 for people to get out of the way, and you'd see a car on the track in front of you, and then I'd think, oh, they're never going to get off in time. But they seem to. I guess they understand those cable cars don't wait for anybody. So then we'd look out front, and here would be this steep hill, and here we were going down at a great speed and ringing the bell the whole time. It was really an experience. It was like riding the blue streak at the park or something like that. But it was a lot of fun. And at the end of the trip, we were at Fisherman's Wharf. And when everyone got off, they turned it around again. And the crowd jumped on again on their way back to the city. But we were headed for Ghirardelli Square. This is a place where they make wonderful chocolate. So we'll tell you about that on the other side of this tape. So to be continued.